Okay, Shabbos Peches, 88a. This is perhaps one of the most popular, or one of the most concentrated dapim of well-known Gemaras that we have in Shas. Well, there are a lot of them, but this is definitely, this is chock full of some Gemaras you might know one way or another, but it's always good to see them inside. So here we go. Tashema, Titania, we're at the sort of the second line of Peches Amar Aleph. Tashma Datan B'Seder Olam, it's said in Seder Olam. What exactly is Seder Olam? So it's a specific type of brisa, which I guess goes through history. I'm sure the Koran has like a great synopsis.
It's a book. It's a midrash, a very ancient midrash.
Is it big? Is it a big book?
I think it's fairly small, but you can buy a copy.
I'm sure there's a commentary or two that have been written on it that make it a very thick book. But either way, Tashma Datana B'Seder Olam.
Yeah. Art Scroll says it's a collection of braises that was compiled by Rabbi Yossi.
Okay. Interesting.
It's even available or was in English.
Okay. It's interesting that it's compiled by Rabbi Yossi. He's sort of one of the main players in this debate here. Yeah, David.
It has a certain, it's controversial as far as certain dating, but that's way beyond the scope of our conversation.
Okay. So here we go. The Tanya B'Seder Olam, the Brisa named Seder Olam, or the compilation of Brisa's named Seder Olam, says the following: Nisan Shebo Yotzi Yisrael Mitzrayim Be'arba Asar Shechtu B'Sechayen. When the Jewish people left in Nisan, or when the first Nisan of the Jewish people, so on the 14th they shechted the Karban Pesach, V'chamisha Asar Yatzu. On the 15th, they left. Also, Yom Erev Shabbos. That was Friday. Umidureish Yarchadi Nisan Erev Shabbos. From the fact that the first day of Nisan was Erev Shabbos, Reish Yarchadi Iyar Chad B'Shabbos. That means that the Rosh Chodesh Iyar was on Sunday. V'Sivan B'Shrei B'Shabbos. And therefore, Sivan was on Monday. The Rosh Chodesh Kash Rabbi Yossi. That would be a Kash on Rabbi Yossi, who thinks that there were 3 days of the Shloshes Me'Agvala, and therefore, according to Rabbi Yossi, Sunday had to be Rosh Chodesh. Amar l'achar Rabbi Yossi, ha'mani rabbanan hi. That brisa, which is compiled apparently by Rabbi Yossi, is going according to the shita of the rabbanan. So interesting turn of events there. But of course, Rabbi Yossi just compiling it. He's not necessarily giving his opinion. But either way, tashima Rabbi Yossi Omer. There's another brisa where Rabbi Yossi specifically talks. Vaisheni ala Moshe v'yarad v'shlishi ala v'yarad v'revi yarad v'shuv lo ala. So interesting, Bryce, it says basically Moshe Rabbeinu went up on Har Sinai, and then came down on the Monday. On the second of the month, which according to Rabbi Yossi would also be Monday. B'Shlishi Olav Yarad, then on Tuesday he went up, and then came back down. B'Ravi Yarad V'lo Allah. Then on Wednesday he went down and did not go back up. So the obvious question is, actually, Allah mehechan yared, right? When the fact that it says that he never went up, how did he ever go down, right? Everyone knows whatever goes up must come down, but you can't go down unless you go up first. So how is it exactly the case that on Wednesday he went, that on Wednesday he came down but didn't go up? So Gemara says, Ela b'revi Allah v'yarad, on Wednesday rather he went up and came down. B'chamishi bana mizbeach v'hikriv ala karban. Then he made a mizbeach on Thursday and brought a karban. B'shishi lo hayo lo panai. And on the sixth day he didn't have any time. What didn't he have time for? It's not clear. Let me see, Rashi say anything? No. So the Gemara says he didn't have any time on the sixth day, which could have been Friday or it could have been the sixth of Sivan in general. So my love, Mishum Torah, was he not busy because of the Torah? Because he's getting the Torah. That's why he didn't have time to do anything. So the Gemara says, no, lo Mishum Torah Shabbos. He was getting ready for Shabbos. Everyone knows it's a very hectic time before Shabbos, and therefore, he didn't have time to go up Har Sinai. Whatever that means. I don't know what else Moshe Rabbeinu was doing at the time, but he was too busy. I don't know. So the Gemara says, Mishum Torah Shabbos, Darash Hahu Galila Alei Derev Chista. This person from the Galil said to said to or one speaks and standing above Rav Chisor to heaven. That means Brich Rachmana da dihav al yira orion tlisai la am tlisai al yidei tlisai biyom tlisai biyarcha tlisai. Blessed is Hashem who brought the Torah on the third to the people of the third, to the through the person of the third, on the day of the third, on the date of the third. So what do all these things mean? So
here the, it says when Rabbi the yeah. it says the when he that he gave the first third that it refers to is the Torah, Nevi'im, and Kesuvim.
Right. Yes.
Not that's that it what it's on a third day right. or anything.
Yeah. So a lot of threes. So here it means Tanakh, Torah, Nevi'im, Kesuvim. He gave it to a people, the threefold people, which means according to Rashi, Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim. And then he gave them through a third, meaning Moshe, who was the third child in his family. And then what was I up to? I did Tlisai B'yom Tlisai on the third day, which I assume means Tuesday.
It's the third.
A third day from Prisha, from separating right. from men and women. Okay. Biyom Tlisai on the third day of the month. In the third month, sorry. In the third month of Sivan. So what's the question? The question is... Oh, good. Because the Rabbanan think that the Torah was given on the third day of the Shloshah Simei, right, because the pasuk says Yom Umachar, we said yesterday, and then the third day is when they get the Torah. But the Rav Yossi thinks no, there were three separate days, and then the Torah was given. So that's why this must be according to Kaman Karabanan, who thinks that the Torah was given on the third day. Okay, famous Gemara alert. But Yisyasu b'tachtet zahar Amar Rav Avdimi Bar Chama Bar Chasa Malam Shekaf Aleim Shekaf Hakadosh Baruch Hu Aleim Es Hahar Kegigas. When the pasuk says that they stood beneath or at the foot of the mountain, betachtis, like the word tachas means connotes, it's that they were underneath. So it says says Rav Avdimi, this means Hashem held the mountain over them like an overturned barrel. Right, so a lot of drushes to be made on this gemara. What exactly this all means? V'amr lahem, he said to them, imatem mekam haTorah mutav im lav sham teikvarschem, that if you accept the Torah now, so great. But if not, this is where you're going to be buried. So it sounds like there's a lot of coercion going on. So Amr of Achmar Yaakov, Mikan Modolar Abba L'Raisa, this is a great claim that the Jewish people could have towards the Torah. Meaning that if ever they slipped up, they could always say, yeah, well, we were coerced into this whole deal in the first place. Amarava, however, Rava comes along and says, Afiki, Afa Pichain, even though it was true that originally they accepted it under coercion, Hadar Kiblua Bimeach Hashverosh, they ultimately accepted it again, not through coercion, but through a more of a willing acceptance. How exactly that happens through Purim is a whole drasha. But Tichsiv Kimu Vekila Yehudim Kimu Mash Kiblu Kfar, that the Jewish people accepted upon themselves. And the Gemara says Kimu Vekiblu is a double wording, which means that they were establishing what they had already accepted. Some people explain this, that the first one was, you know, Kabbalah Satorah B'yira, that they did it with fear, and then by Purim it was Kabbalah Satorah B'ava. Some people say the breakdown is Daraisa versus Darabanans. Either way, there's a lot to be talked about in this Gemara, but this is Daf Yomi, and I'm sure you'll find a lot of other places that give drushes on that Gemara, so we don't have to go through them now. Amr Chizkiyah. So my dirsi mishmai mishmat din eretz yara v'shakata, you caused sentence to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and was silent. What does that mean? The earth was feared and silent. So im yara, if it was feared, so lama yara. So why is it quiet? Vim shakta lama yara, and if it was quiet, why is it feared? I'm not exactly sure what. What exactly that question means, but either way, the Gemara says El Bitzchila Yara L'Vasof Shakta, meaning originally they were fearful and then they were quiet. I guess quiet connotes a certain peace, so it wasn't so they weren't fearful anymore. So which one is it? Were they fearful or were they quiet? So the Gemara says Originally, they were fearful, and then ultimately, they were quiet. V'lama yara, why were they so afraid? K'dirish lakish, darmish lakish, v'ayin d'chsev, ahi erev, ahi vokim, ha-shishi. What does it mean when the Pasuk says, the beginning of creation, that it was yom ha-shishi? Usually, when the days come along and they're described, so it's yom revi'i, yom chamishi. So why is it yom ha-shishi, the sixth day? So the Gemara says, Rish Lakish says, hey yaseir lamali, what's the before the six? Malami shehisna kadosh baruch hu yamasa bereishis v'amar lahem. Hashem made a condition with all creation. I mean, this is the sixth day of creation. Im Yisrael mekabel la Torah atem eskaimin. If the Jewish people accept the Torah, so then you will all endure. You will all stay in the natural world. V'im lav, but if not, ani ma'aser eschem ato avavo, I am going to return you to, I don't know how you translate that, to nothingness of some kind. Chaos and disorder. So what does that mean? So Rashi says, ha-shishi ma'ashme ha-shishi ha-miyuchad b'makom achri ha-mir ma'am ha-yarech, meaning that the ha-shishi of the pasuk in Bereishis is not talking about the sixth day of creation. It's talking, or at least alluding to, the sixth day that will ultimately come, which will ultimately determine the endurance of the world, the sixth day of Sivan, which apparently only goes according to the Shita of the Rabbanan. But either way, that's how you'd have to understand it. Rashi says, Talu b'yom ha-shishi, v'hu vav b'sivan shnesu b'otorah, mi'riboy dehei. Okay, another famous Gemara, that the Torah was taken on condition, or was a culmination of a condition from many years beforehand. When was the Torah accepted? 2200? Did I get that right? What date? What year was that? 2300?
23 something, like 70.
Yeah. It starts with
23, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Left Egypt 400 years. Abraham was born in 1948.
1948, right.
It was around 2048 when he... 2015 when he was told about the 400 years.
Right, yeah.
It starts with the birth of Isaac, so he was 100. Uh-huh. So 2048, something on that range.
Okay. It's
probably 24.
Yeah, Leonard?
It's kind of strange if this whole thing was if it was conditional, and then Hashem went and, in effect, coerced Klal Yisrael to accept the Torah. It's like...
Right, right.
It wasn't like there was a if. Obviously, they were going to accept it if they had a mountain sitting over their head.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a good question. And a lot of people, a lot of discussion is around that coercion Gemara, because it doesn't really fit with other Gemaras, like, or at least other Midrashim. How could it be that Hashem went to all the nations, right? Everyone knows this, right? Hashem went to everybody else and offered them the Torah, and no one accepted because of this and because of that. Well, it seems like the Jewish people wouldn't have accepted either, according to this Gemara. So that specific midrash has a lot to be worked out with other midrashim. And as David likes to remind us, not all midrashim have to agree with each other. But what does David want to say here?
Well, it also disagrees with the greatness of the
Nasa v'nishma. Yeah.
Nasa v'nishma.
Right, right. Yeah, no, there are a lot of, this one Gemara causes a lot of fodder for drushes. That's all we'll say. I guess that's a nice, diplomatic way to explain it, but yeah. Either way, so some more famous Gemaras here. Yeah, Leonard.
You go, Leonard. No,
go ahead, Michael.
Could be that there's an era of Rav, and there's a range of people.
Yeah, that could be
somewhere on the tail end that needed to hear this part of it.
It doesn't say that in the Gemara.
They said Nasa v'nishma. We didn't stop them.
I hear it. I hear it.
They have doubts.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is not based on a source.
Yeah. No, it's possible. It's possible. But let's keep going in these Gemaras, because you're going to find some more familiar stuff. Darash Rab Simai, B'shah Sheikdim Yisrael Nasa v'nishma, Bo Shishim Rivo Shemalcha Sharis, L'kol Echad V'Echad Yisrael Kashlok Shnei Ksarim Echad K'neg Nasa V'Echad K'neg Nishma. That Rabbi Simai once said that when the Jewish people said Nasa v'nishma, the Malachim came down with 600,000 crowns and put them on each one of the heads of the Jewish people. Now, was it 600,000 people? Was that just the number of males? We talked about, you know, this was alluded to in the Shavuos packet, that it wasn't literally 600,000, it was, you know, more than that, but this is a figurative Gemara. I remember my kid, I think I said this story once in a different class, that in Kansas, one of my kids came home and they had like a Nasef and Nishma crown, like they gave him two crowns on Parshas Yisro. And I said, wait a second, Parshas Yisro, they didn't say Nasef and Nishma yet in Parshas Yisro. So I sort of had like one of these like rabbinic moments where, like, you know, day school education is failing us and we have to be more diligent, whatever. And then the next year, the kids came home with, again, crowns on Parshas Yisro with Nasef and Nishma crowns. I said, this is not this week's Parsha, it's next week's Parsha. And Ricky says, yeah, you said that last year. So, like, apparently this is an ongoing thing for me. So when the Jewish people said Nasef and Nishma, they got these crowns. It was not beforehand. I believe Nasef and Nishma is not until Mishpatim. At the end of Mishpatim, they say Nasef and Nishma. In Yisro, they say Nase. So it's interesting, did they get crowns for Nase, or just when they said Nase and Nishma? The implication of this Gemara could be understood that maybe they got Nase at the end of Yisro, and then they got the Nishma crown later. I don't know. Either way, the Gemara then says, another famous Gemara, V'kevin shechatu Yisrael, yardu meyav esrim yibil malchei aval el perikum shenemar, when the Jewish people sinned with the Eagle Azav, they took all the crowns away. Shenemar yisnasu b'nei Yisrael sajam. Well, first of all, interesting to note that esrim ribo, meyav esrim ribo, which means 1.2 million angels came to take away the crowns. To get the crowns, they got, it doesn't say, it just says that 600,000 angels could give out two crowns. But when they're taking back the crowns, it's 1.2 million, so a lot of drushes based on that, in terms of how much it takes to destroy versus to give, fine. Quoting from a pasuk, Vayisnat Slu, B'nai Yisrael, Sejam, Mehar Chorev, the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments at the Mount of Chorev. This is presumably referring to Eagle Azav, right? Is that referring to Eagle Azav? When they took away their jewelry. I think that's referring to, it's in the end of Ketisa, I think that's referring to when they actually literally took off their jewelry to make the Eagle Azav. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, V'kulon zach Moshe n'talan, that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to, through his merit, get all of them. And he took the tent, or the home. Here it says that it could be, the Rashi says, does Rashi say this? Oso ade lashon, es ha'ohel lashon behalo neiro. Uhayakirun or panav. Okay, Rashi has an interesting drasha here. But in the Sefari it says he took their illumination. Which is how I think Rashi is saying, kirun or panav, that glowing that Moshe Rabbeinu had, that's what he took. I guess referring to the crown.
That's when he separated himself, correct?
Yeah.
When Moshe separated himself.
Right, he took his tent outside of the camp, yeah. So the Gemara says, Amri Shlakish Asir Gash Baruch L'Hachzirun Lanu. Hashem's going to bring us back those crowns. Shenamar v'dei Hashem Yeshuvin Uvel Tzion Berina V'simchas Olam Al Rosham. Simcha Shem Olam Al Rosham. That the pasuk in Yeshayahu that says we're going to come back to Eretz Yisrael, specifically to Yerushalayim, is indicative of the fact that we're going to regain the joy we once had upon our heads. So very positive spin on this. Okay, Amr Rabbi Elazar, B'shashe Ekdim Yisrael Nasa Nishma, Yatza Baskol V'Amr Lahen. When the Jewish people said Nasa before Nishma, so a Baskol came out and said, Mi Gila Levnei Razeh, Levanai Razeh, Shemalach Yesheres Meshtam Sheba, who gave the secret of the angels to the Jewish people that they could use such phrasing to say Nasa V'Nishma, that's sort of like the secret sauce of the Jewish people. Tichsiv, Baruch Hu Hashem Malachav Givor Echorach Osei Dvarav Lishma B'Kol Dvaro Bereisha Osei V'Hadar Lishmoa. First you do it, and then you listen a bit, and then you hear it. So Am Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanina, Ma'ay Dechsev K'sapuach Seyar V'Gomer, that the Jewish people are like an apple tree in the woods, and really under its shadow is usually the main drasha. Hey, buddy, a few more minutes, okay? Why are the Jewish people compared to tapuach, which according to the Sefaria here is translated as an apple? I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Tosos disagrees with that, but yeah, if you look at Tosos over here, this is actually, you might think this is a an irrelevant machlokas here, but it's actually very relevant to other halachas. He says here, Tosos perev kodem la'olav hikshu Rabbeinu Tam. This is actually the next part of the Gemara. Ketapuach gatze ayar lo'am and shuli Yisrael tapuach lo'amar l'cha matubuch zay period kodem la'olav af Yisrael k'dimunas l'shma. Just like this tree, this tapuach batze ayar is different because it is the fruit comes before its leaves, as opposed to most trees where the leaves come and then the fruit comes. So too the Jewish people switched the normal order and they did things, or they committed to do things, before they even understood them. So Tosis asks an interesting question here. Wait a second. Apples grow with their leaves first. Leaves grow on apple trees, and then the apples, like every tree. So, Rabbeinu Tam, she'anu ro'om, she'gadol k'shari lano, su'mefarish te'tapuach, hainu esrog, v'reach ha'peach k'sapuach, v'mentarach k'reach, k'reacha de'esroga, v'esrog pirio kodem la'alef. When it comes to an esrog, the esrog grows before its leaves. She'dar b'ilam, she'an l'shana, she'gmar in sukkah. Yeah, David.
Rabbi Steinzel says it's the blossoms, not the fruit, that come out before the leaves. So I'm not sure whether that's true. He's not saying The fruit comes out. He says the blossoms come out first.
Does Steinzel say it's about an apple tree still, according to Rashi?
Yes, he said with an apple tree. That is characteristic of many species of apple trees or varieties.
So maybe Tosos understands it to be literal leaves as opposed to, I don't know. Interesting.
Not the literal leaves, but that the start of the fruit is through the blossom, and that comes before the leaves, even though the fruit may come after the fruit itself may come after the leaves.
Okay, I don't know enough about it to really understand what you're talking about. But yeah, the importance of this Gemara, apparently, according to Rav Schechter, I remember him saying this in Shir, he's always very makbid that when it comes to making his charoses, which apparently has to include, is darshan based on this pasuk also, kisapuach batzayar, most people put in apples in their charoses based on this pasuk, right? People have charoses on Pesach with apples, I assume, chopped up apples and walnuts and stuff like that. So Rav Schechter used to remind us before Pesach to make sure that we put some kind of citrus in our charoses based on this tosfos, that it has to be some kind of lemon juice to be yotze this pasuk. It's always an interesting.
The idea that that let's say the blossoms and the leaves and the fruit, when we're confused by were they coerced to accept the Torah or not, maybe they said nasa, and then the in order to keep them motivated. In other words, they said it before really realizing the severity of it. So their initial reaction to the nasa came before they accepted, and now all of a sudden they realize what all these rules and regulations are, and they were getting less motivated than kafaleim harkigis. So in other words, it's not contradictory, it goes together.
Yeah, I hear it. The problem is we generally assume Nasav Nishma was the acceptance, right? So that order would seem to be out of order, but I understand what you're trying to do, yeah.
We even say, by the way, the acceptance didn't really even come till Purim time, till the Purim.
Well, the full acceptance, whatever. Yeah,
full acceptance. That's what I'm saying.
You have to understand. Yeah, you have to orient the Gemara in some way to assume there's this partial acceptance and what that acceptance means, which is what I was alluding to before. But yeah, a lot to talk about that Gemara, as we've already seen in this shir, a lot of complications comes from this drasha of Rav Avdimi. Either way, Hahu Mina.
It can't be. The Purim one couldn't be that was the full acceptance. We didn't have the whole nation at that time, where we did in Sinai.
Here, that's true.
A lot of people go up to Europe. They were only a fraction of the people.
Yeah, that's true too. Okay, Hahu Mina Dechazi L'Rav V'Dekama'ayin B'Shemaisa. I think Rashi quotes this Gemara in his Perashat Torah. So there was this one heretic that saw Ravas, that saw Ravas studying, Vyasva Hatsbasa, the day to take Kar of the Kamaitz Bu. He was sitting on his fingers and he was squeezing his fingers to come up and twice the Dama. And his fingers started bleeding from all the squeezing. Amalei, Ama Paziza! What an impulsive people. De Kadmisu Pumaychu Zinaychu. That they put their mouth before their ears. Akasi Bepachzu Saychu Kamaisi. They're still using that same impulsiveness as he's doing things without thinking about them. You should have first listened and accepted, and then only after you listened, you would accept. But if you don't like it, so then you shouldn't have accepted. So we are wholeheartedly committed to this approach. Ksiv ban tumas yisharim tanchem, which at least the Tzfari here translates, the integrity of the upright will guide them. I guess tumas means to be full or complete, not to die or anything. Hanach inashe desagan balilusa ksiv behu, those people who walk in deceit, alila, like an alila is like something, an excuse or something holding back or refrain. Ksiv behu veselef bogdim yeshadim, and perverseness of the faithless will destroy them. I mean, you have to be committed to something in order to endure. Pasuk in Shir Hashirim, Batzchila Ba'achas Meinayach. First, we accept it with one eye. Lichshetasi B'shteinayach. B'shteinacha. But then, when you actually do it, when you actually, I assume, this means to be fulfilled the Torah, you do it with two eyes. What exactly that means, I'm not sure. Okay.
The amount of commitment initially to say I'll do it takes less commitment than to actually do it.
Yeah, easier said than done.
Yeah.
I guess that's represented by one eye and two eyes. I'm not sure how, but yeah. I guess you don't truly get the full picture of something until you do it.
Well, there's also the caution, like you know how when you're right. afraid something's going to happen, squint. You kind of squint
yeah.
it.
I get it. Okay, so it's more of a hesitant acceptance with one eye. I get it. Okay. Amr Ula Aluva Kalamazana Besoch Kupasa. Insolent is the bride who is promiscuous under her wedding canopy. Okay, what does that mean? Amr of Mari Barai Bara Debas Shmua Maikra Ad Shemahala Ashamel Bim Sibo Nir Di. Until the king is in his feast. What does that mean? I think the end of the pasuk is important. And gave off its fragrance. Okay. So Amarav Adain Chavivusa Hi Gaban. But it's still Chaviv. Is this referring to the Egel Azav? Hold on. Yeah, Rashi says it's referring to the Egel Azav, that they're sitting at their wedding canopy and they're still going after the Egel Azav. So nonetheless, says Rav, Hashem still loved them. Higaban dechsiv nasam lo ksiv hisriach. That, where's that pasuk? Nasan. I don't know what pasuk that is. What pasuk is Nasan?
It's the end of that pasuk from Shir Hashirim.
Okay, Nasan, meaning his the fragrance, whatever it is. Azav Recho, Nasan Azav Recho Atov L'Acherim. Yeah. Okay, so Nasan, it doesn't say his Sriach, it doesn't say that it became disgusting or anything. So Tanu Rabbanan, Aluvin Me'in Aluvin, Shomu Charpasim Me'in Meshivin, Osim Me'avav Mesmech Me'isurin, Alein Kasev Omer Avav Ktsias Hashemesh Begvura. So people who are insulted or offended, and they don't return the favor, they don't also offend. They hear their own disgrace and they don't return it, and they do things memava even when it's difficult for them. So those types of people, the pasuk tells us that they love him are as the sun going forth in its might. Okay, it's sort of a test of their strength. when they power through those issues. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. My dechsev Hashem yitain Omer v'sotma v'hamid v'astros tzavarav kol diber v'diber sheyotzim v'biagvura nechlak l'shilim l'shonos. When Hashem gave the Aseres Dibros, or at least the first two Dibros, so then it split out into many languages. Tanabir Rishmal Uchpatish Yefotzit Sela Ma Patishen Nachalcham and Totsos. Just like when you hit with a hammer, it creates many sparks that go in all directions. So too, whenever Hashem spoke, it went out into 70 different languages. Why is the Torah connected? Why is the Torah compared to a king or a leader? Just like the king has the ability to kill or to keep alive. After so too, the words of the Torah have the ability to keep someone alive or to kill them, depending on how you treat the Torah. Hainu Dama Rava, this is what Rava meant with Maiminimba, Sama Chaye, Masibimba, Sama de Mosa. For those who put their strength into the Torah, so it's something that gives them life. And for those who put their weaker arms, meaning this is referring to righties, it's not a jab against lefties, but for those who put their weaker strength into their weaker arm into the Torah, so then that was going to ultimately become a source of death. Every time the Jew Hashem said something, they got two crowns, which is I guess Nagid is like a king, like you get a crown. Amr Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, my dechsev, how do you know? Tzor hamor dodi li ben shaday alin. Amr Knesset Yisrael of Nekonish Baruch Hu, Yibonash lo olam, af al yishemetz ar meymar li dodi, even though it's difficult. Yibonash lo olam, the Jewish people said to Hashem, even though my beloved causes me suffering and bitterness. What is the suffering and bitterness? Be'ega. I guess it's referring to Hashem is saying that. I thought the Jewish people were talking. I'm not exactly sure. Amr Knesset Levi Nekonish Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Af Al Pi Shemetzer Meimar Li Dodi, Bein Shaddai Yalin.
Hashem's reaction to the Bnei Yisrael when they sinned, they may have sinned, but they're still close to my
heart. Yeah, no, I get that, but the phrase right before then says that the Jewish people are talking. I don't know. Rashi says Hashem is talking, it sounds like. Either way, he still accepts Jewish people. Eshkol Kofer Dodi Li Becharmei En Gedi Misha Hakol Shelo Mechaper Li Al Avon Gedi Shekaramti Li. So those who my beloved is to me like a cluster of henna in the vineyards of En Gedi, he whom everything is his forgives me for the sin of the kid, meaning the calf. Interesting that the word Gedi here is used in that way. We have other drushes like that, that I collected for myself. What does that mean? My mashma dahai karmi lishna de michnash hu. How do you know that the word karmi means gathering, like michna, like beit kenishta in Aramaic means like a beis knesses? Amar mar zutra breder of nachmik design kisei shakoves shakarma lev as akelim. It's like the launderer's chair which gathers the garments. That's called a koves. It's called a koreim. A koreim, I guess. That's what they do. Okay. And that was some more famous gemaras. Rami Yeshua ben Levi, my dechsev l'chayim karugas abosem, that his cheeks are like the bed of spices. Kol dibur v'dibur shetzmi kosh baruch hu nismali kol olam kulu besamim. They gave out a beautiful fragrance from the words of this. Zibros akim shemi dibur rishon nismali dibur sheni leichan halach. And once the world was already full of spices after the first dibur, so what was the purpose of the second one's fragrance? Where did that go? That he brought it out one by one. Each and every dibur brought with it more spice, more fragrance, I guess. There is always enough room with after the first one, whatever that means. I don't know. I'm sure a lot of good drushes on that too. The Jewish people, their souls leapt out of them after each of the dibros, which is part of the whole scene there, that the Jewish people come to Moshe Rabbeinu and say no more, because they couldn't take it. Shneamar nafshi yatzu b'dabro, that my soul left with the speech with the aser zeros meyachshim midibur rishon yatzin shmatzan dibusheni heichan kiblu. If their souls left, how did they accept the Torah afterwards? Horid tal shasid lachios bo mesem echiosam, that the dew came back and revived them. Shneamar geshem nedavos tanif elokim nachlas panil atal kananta. Important parallel from this to mashiv haruach morid hageshem. Why do we say mashiv haruach morid hageshem by the bracha of mechayim esim? This could also be a connection there, because that dew or that rain is indicative of the ultimate resurrection of the dead, which is brought through this dew. Rami Yeshua ben Levi called Dibur v'Dibur Shemesh Mikdash Baruch Hu Chazu Yisrael Achorin Shneimasar Mil V'Hiu Malchay Asheres Medadin Oso. After each of the Dibros, the Jewish people leapt backwards 12 mil, which we talked about in our Parsha Kasha. If you remember, 1 week we talked about, what about, isn't there a Tchum issue here? And Rashi has an interesting drasha here. Zu hi midas machaneim v'hayu hakrovim li b'rchozim yipachar hakol ad katzeh machaneh. Rashi specifically says that the Jewish people went to the end of the camp, but they didn't go past the camp. Otherwise, there would be an issue of a Tchum problem. Presumably, that's what Rashi is talking about. But either way, this would also presumably only be relevant according to the shita that we saw yesterday, that the Jewish people also already knew about the halachas of Tchum. There's an opinion that says they didn't hear the halachas of Tchum yet until afterwards, which is how you made sense of the dates of when they traveled, etc. And then what happened? The angels brought them back just so they can go leap backwards again. Pasuk from Tehillim teaches us that. Okay? This is even more famous Gemara. That when it came to get the Torah, unclear which Torah this is, first Dibor or second, the first Aseret Dibor is our second one. So the Gemara says, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to get the Torah, why is this son of a woman in front of us? Why he shouldn't be in the heaven? Heaven is for angels. He came for the Torah. This beautiful gift that you had stored away from 974 generations before the world was even created. Whatever, what does that mean, that there's a generation before the world? Obviously, there's somewhat of a symbolism here, but the angels say, you're going to give this atzam avakash l'ilu l'vas v'dam, you're going to give it to man, to flesh and blood. How could you do such a thing? This is our holy item here. Ma'anosh k'siskrenu ben'anu k'yisif k'danu. What is man in terms of, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you think of him? Hashem adoneinu ma'ad yoshimcha b'chol ha'aretz asher tzna hodcha l'shamayim. Hashem, your beauty is in the heavens. Okay. Amar lo Kadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, hechzer lehen tshuva. So many interesting pieces, so many interesting nuances to this Gemara. But Hashem says, Moshe Rabbeinu, you answer them. This is not something for me to answer, this is for you to answer. I mean, it's like a almost lahavdil, like an interview. Tell us why you want this. Right? Why do you want this job? So he says, Moshe. So Hashem says, Moshe, you tell them. Why is the Torah so important to you? Hashem, I'm worried that when I give the wrong answer, they're going to burn me alive. So Amar lo, echos b'chisei kvodi v'chazul lo tshuva. Okay, so in order to not be burned alive, grab onto my kisei hakavod, whatever that means, the heavenly chair of Hashem. Shneamar machis pnei kisei parshez alav anono, pasuk from Iov. To prove that this gives protection for Amr Rabbi Nachum, Malami Shapiris Shaddai Miziv Shchinas V'Ananu Alav, that it teaches that Hashem spread the radiance of His presence and His cloud over Moshe. Okay, sort of like a protection, a force field of some kind. Okay, Amr Levan Rabbanu Shel Olam. You know, I want to respond to them, Hashem. I want to give them a good argument, but I don't know what's in the Torah yet. So he says, Torah Shanasa Shatanosin Li Maksivba. What's written in this Torah? So Hashem says, Anochi Hashem Elokech Shatzitzchimir Tzitzchayim. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, oh, the Torah tells us about how Hashem took us out of Egypt. Ah, that's a good one. Malachim. So he goes to the angels and he says, Limitzrayim Yeratitem. Did you go down to Egypt that it would be relevant? Lefaro hishtamtem, were you slaves? Tar lama te'elachem. Why would you need a Torah that praises how Hashem took you out of Egypt if you were never in Egypt? So, but apparently that didn't work. I once heard a great drasha from Rav Yitzchak Cohen, who has some mishpacha here in Detroit. I think he actually might still be here. He got sort of came here before the corona so he could be with family. And he said that, you could learn Torah l'shma, right? You can learn about all the different types of things, even if it doesn't specifically speak to your practical life. So they weren't convinced. Shuv Maksivba. So Hashem says, so Shemoshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, what else is written? Lo yelcha Elohim Achirim. Elohim Achirim, sorry. That you shouldn't have any other gods, lowercase g. That's what he says to them. Bein Agayim Atem Shruim Sheovdin Avodah Zarah. Do you really sit among other nations that you have Avodah Zarah to worry about? So didn't work. So Shuv Maksivba. Zachar Hashem Shabbos L'Kadsho. So it says, you keep Shabbos. Klum Atem Osim Malach Shatem Tzrichim Shvus. He says to the angels, "Do you ever do malacha that you need to rest from malacha? Of course not. So why do you need the Torah? So shuv maksiv, that didn't work. Shuv maksiv ba lo sisa maso matun yesh meneichem, that you shouldn't swear falsely, which is something to do within money interactions. So Moshe Rabbeinu says you don't have any money interactions. Why do you need to have the prohibition of swearing falsely? That didn't work either. Shuv maksiv ba kavidus vich v'simecha. So you should honor your parents. Ava em yeshalchem. You have parents. This would be relevant to you. So still didn't work. Shuv maksiv ba lo sirtach, lo sinah, lo signov. You shouldn't kill. You shouldn't commit adultery. And you shouldn't kidnap. Kenesh b'nechem. Yitzhar yesh b'nechem. Do you have jealousy? Do you have an evil inclination? And with that question, miyad hodu lo kodesh baruch hu shenemar Hashem anin mad yashimcha v'gomer v'ilu tzuna hodcha l'shemayim lo ksiv. The angels agree and basically say, yes, we do not have an evil inclination. That's why the Torah is for you, as we say in other places in Chazal, that lo nizar l'macha yasharis, the Torah is not given to those who are angels who don't have an evil inclination. It's specifically given to people who have evil inclination to help us navigate life. There's, as I said before, there's a whole general discussion about when this happened, before or after it goes up. But the clinching argument for Moshe Rabbeinu, the only one that worked, is the fact that humanity has the evil inclination, and therefore they need the Torah to guide them to properly navigate around those desires or with those desires. The Kliyakar has a beautiful take on this in regards to what the Torah means, but for a different time. A lot of drashas based on this Gemara, even more so than the previous Gemaras. So there's a nice little rundown of much of the most famous day school episodes, day school narratives that you hear when you're a kid about Matan Torah. They all come from the same daf in Shabbos. And we will, Mirza Hashem, find a halacha from these wonderful stories that we can teach in the WhatsApp today. But until then, we'll leave it at that. Okay, Shkayach, everyone.